Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. The first Sunday of June, when I was able to preach last, I brought to you the first 5 days of creation. This morning I'd like to attempt to bring you day six of creation. We just have one day today, day six of creation. As a quick recap, let's look back at days one through five. Day one, God made light and separated it from the darkness. Day two, God made our atmosphere. Day three, God made dry land appear, and he also made all the plants whose seed is in itself. And day four, God made the sun, the moon, and time, and the stars. And on day five, God made all the birds and everything that lives in the seas. And the title from that message was God Establishing His Authority, which again is the same title for this morning, God Continuing to Establish His Authority. Again, looking at day six of creation, God continuing to establish his authority. So let's look again a little bit more at a recap from a month ago or so, and what authority that God did establish in the first 5 days. And again, if you want more detail, I'm sure you can find it online, or there's a CD out there of the message. But on day one, God separated the light from the darkness, and it has never been mixed again. He established that authority, and it is true. On day two, he gave us a protective covering of our atmosphere. And again, if that wouldn't be there, we would all burn up, all the plants and animals and everybody. And again, under that authority, it still is there. It can't change unless he wills it. On day three, he made all the dry land and the plants. And again, the plants have their seed in themselves, and that's how it is today. Each tree only makes its same kind of tree, and each plant makes its own kind of plant. You can modify genetically a seed, but it's still corn. You can change it genetically. You can change wheat genetically, but it's still wheat. You can't do anything about that. And so that is what God made, and that's what still is. On day four, God made time. You can't change it. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. You can't speed it up. Day four, God made the stars. He established his authority. And now that we're up to, now that we're up to speed here, let's look at day six, and we're picking up at Genesis 1, verse 24 and 25. And then it says, and then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind and cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And what does it mean that God made? So if you jump to Genesis 2, verse 19, gives you a little bit more insight. In Genesis 2:19, it says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. So God took the time to make it with his hands. He formed it. In verse 25 again, it says, and God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. How amazing is our God? How creative is our God? I don't think we really understand how amazing our God is. We don't often stop and wonder at his vast creative abilities that he has on display in nature. So let's do that this morning. Let's take a minute and consider the vastness of the creation that he's made in about, what I would assume, half of day six. So let's look at something local that we can see, nature that we can find here in Pennsylvania. Well, that's too big. We can't cover that. Okay, let's look at something small. What did God make on day six? Oh, the creeping things. Should we look at the creeping things that God made on day six and then just the creeping things in Pennsylvania? No, that's still too big. We can't, we don't have time to do that. So let's just pick beetles, okay? So you all guess, how many beetles are there in Pennsylvania? Somebody guess. How many beetles? Nobody wants to guess? 22 beetles, okay, any more? 1,000 beetles. No, it's way less than that, but that's okay. It's more than 22. Anybody want to guess again? How many beetles? 50. Okay. There's 176 different beetles in Pennsylvania alone. So, if this works, we're going to look at the beetles found in Pennsylvania. Okay, let's try the password again. There it is. Okay, there are acorn weevils and American carrion beetles and American oil beetles and ashy gray lady beetles, antelope beetles, ant-like longhorn beetle, multicolored lady beetle. Here, you thought they were lady bugs. They're actually beetles. Banded ash borers, banded leghorns, bee-like flower scarab beetle, bean leaf beetle, banded netwing beetle, beetle grub, bicolored flower longhorn beetle, big dipper firefly. You thought they were fireflies. Here they're beetles. Black carpet beetle, black blister beetle, big-headed ground beetle, black caterpillar hunter, black firefly, black vine weevil, burrowing beetle. And you'll notice as we go down through, the burrowing beetles all have big eyes, what look like eyes, I assume they're eyes, way out in front of their heads. I don't know how that would work as you burrow, but that's what they look like. You'll see more of those. The bumblebee scarab beetle, I wonder if he's fast. I don't know. The broad-necked root beetle, this guy has a different Latin name, but I guess they ran out of names because he has the same English name. Carolina pine sawyer, checkered beetle, cedar beetle, case-bearing leaf beetle, the gray-colored billbug, the click beetle, some people know what that is, cockleburr weevil, cottonwood leaf beetle, cottonwood borer beetle, convergent lady beetle, which again, most people call ladybugs, the brown click beetle, the darkling beetle, the dogbane leaf beetle, the earth-boring scarab beetle, there's his eyes way out front again, the dung beetle, the drugstore beetle, I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is. It's a little scary, but I guess it's there. Eastern-eyed click beetle, the eastern Hercules beetle, the eggplant beetle, emerald euphora beetle, the ash borer. Uh-oh, that's the one that kills all the ash trees. The elderberry borer beetle, European ground beetle, false bombardier beetle, false potato beetle, fire-colored beetle, this fiery searcher caterpillar hunter, festive tiger beetle, the firefly, again, it's a beetle. Flat-laced long-nosed beetle, the flat-headed bald cypress sapwood, the flower longhorn beetle, again, different Latin names, flat-headed hardwood borer, a flower longhorn beetle, again, different Latin names, four-spot sap beetle. There's a glowworm. That's interesting. I've never seen one of those. The giant stag beetle, the fungus weevil, the golden brown rove beetle, the golden netwing beetle, the golden tortoise beetle, golden June bug, grapevine beetle, goldsmith beetle, the hairy rove beetle, the hermit flower beetle, the hister beetle, the Japanese beetle. Those aren't good. We have those. Ivory marked beetle, the horned passula beetle, the jewel beetle, the larder beetle, the large rove beetle, the locust borer beetle, the linden borer beetle. I wonder if Linden knew he was famous. Look at that. The large elm leaf beetle, longhorn beetle, the long jointed beetle, the maize weevil, the margin leather wing beetle, the margin burying beetle. There's eyes are way out front again. Margin blister beetle, the marsh beetle, the May beetles, the Maylie bug destroyer, net wing beetle, the molted tortoise beetle, the metallic wood boring beetle, northeastern pine sawyer, notched tipped flower longhorn beetle, the notched mouth ground beetle, one spotted tiger beetle, the oil beetle, the oak timber worm weevil, green pale weevil, pale green weevil, the Pennsylvania firefly, Pennsylvania leatherwing beetle, pleasing fungus beetle, pink spotted lady beetle, the pigweed flea, the plum, whatever that is, cuciolio, popular boar beetle, the predaceous diving beetle, the rainbow darkling beetle, pulse-slatted carrion beetle. There's again a diving beetle, a rainbow scarab beetle, a flat red dark beetle, bark beetle, a red-headed ash borer, two-legged burpetus, I don't know, red oak borer, milkweed beetle, red-lined carrion beetle, earbud borer, reticulated netwing beetle, rose shaver, rice weevil, rhinoceros beetle, round-headed apple tree borer, round-necked long-horned beetle, round-necked long-horned beetle, again, different Latin names. It says scary, right? Scary ground beetle, sort of rustic borer, roe weevil, scarlet lady beetle, scarlet malachite beetle, sculptured pine borer beetle, shining leaf shaver, seven-spotted lady beetle, speedcorn beetle. Are you guys getting tired of all these beetles? We're still going. Shining leaf shaver beetle, signature lady beetle, spotted, six-spotted nolium, soldier beetle, soft wing flower beetle, six-spotted tiger beetle. Looks like there's going to be more of those. Soldier beetle, again, different Latin names. Southern sculptured pine borer beetle, spotted tree borer beetle, pink ladybug beetle, spotted cucumber beetle, squash lady beetle, stag beetle, strawberry root weevil, striped cucumber beetle, striped blister beetle, strawberry seed beetle, sugar maple borer, swamp milkweed leaf beetle, sweet potato weevil, tumbling flower beetle, termotus burying beetle, three-lined potato beetle, there is a two-stabbed lady beetle, two-lined leatherwing beetle, and a varied carpet beetle. That is interesting. Someone noted that he was probably from the early 80s. It was a shag version there, looks like. Livid metallic ground beetle, Weidinghoff's ground beetle, variegated June beetle, water penny. I've seen those occasionally. They're in the water. The water scavenger beetle, the weevil, the white oak borer, the whirligigs. They zoom around. That's these guys. They if I can move right there, they zoom around in the water. Right there, see them? And right there, they go around the top of the water. The weevil and the white-spotted sawyer beetle and the woodland ground beetle. 176 beetles just in Pennsylvania in all of those colors that God made. Amazing. I was floored to find that many beetles. And The beetle's job primarily is to be eaten. I guess it's good. A lot of them are kind of ugly looking, but the beetle is the food source base for most birds. So you wondered, God feeds the birds? He made the beetles for the birds to eat, I guess. So our God is amazing. He is super, super creative. I don't think I could have thought up that many beetles and the color patterns and the burrowing beetles and the longhorn beetles, and I just blows my mind, his creativity. God is amazing. So with that same spirit of awe, let's look at the account where God makes us, you and me, through Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:26. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. He was speaking to Adam. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I will confess to you up front that in that short passage, I don't have enough time to cover what God has said and what God has done. And so I'm certain you will go, well, what about this? Well, I didn't have time to cover that. So these are the few things that I was able to pick out of there for our time this morning. But there is so much more found in that section of scripture that you could spend a lot of time on. So again, bear with me. These are the things that I believe God has led me to share with you for today, but there's so much more that we can cover. On day six, God was busy. He made all the animals that go along the ground, and he made us too. And he formed it all from the dirt. Although not everything from day six was from the dirt. There was one thing that didn't start out dirty. The ladies. They didn't start out from the dirt. You know, I used this as an illustration one time as I was asked to share at a wedding. It was, instead of boy meets girl, it's actually dirt meets clean. That's kind of how it works. Pretty much what a guy does involves dirt. And they work, they get dirty. They play, they get dirty. You know? And from splitting wood and mowing the grass, and I mean, and pretty much whatever the lady does is just clean up what he did, you know? God sentenced men to turmoil and sweat, and pretty much since then, the ladies have been trying to clean it up. And of course, that's not everyone's roles. But it's close enough that we can all kind of chuckle at that. That is kind of a little bit how it is. Even if you play golf, you think that's clean, you know, but you still get all sweaty, and then you come in the car next time, and there's grass all over the floor mat, and you're like, whoops. So there is always something that we do that gets dirty. That's how it works. And again, the ladies help us to stay clean and clean up. So let's look again at how a little more detail how God made us and how he commissioned us. In verse 26, it says, and then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And these next few comments on these verses were some my own and some of Matthew Henry. So the depths of Matthew Henry's comments and his use of the English language would lose most of us, including myself. And so allow me to just say that some of these are my thoughts and some of these are Matthew Henry's. If you have time, it's an excellent commentary to read. It's very lengthy. So if you want more in-depth and have time to read it two or three times to understand it, please do. It's good reading. But one thing I'll start to note here is what God says, he does. In verse 26, he says, let us make man. And with no delay, in verse 27, it says, so God created man. And it is different from us and sadly myself at times, that what is said is done. God gives us an example here that what he says, he does. So often our speech is not so connected to our action. And God has the authority to do it, and he does what he says here in our text. In previous verses, God spoke and it was so. Let there be light. Right? I don't know if there was noise or not, but there was light. And God said, let there be the sun. Let there be the moon. Let there be stars. Let there be land. Boom. But here, for us, it's like a conversation. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, It is here implied to more care and more thought and more purpose than his previous acts of creation. If we are the greatest of God's creation, I had to think, why are we first and not, and why were we last? Why were we last and not first? If we are the greatest of his creation, why were we last? God did not need to practice. And as I thought about that feeble thought that was kind of dumb and silly to think about, I was like, well, why would we be last? And I realized that light was made for you to see, to remind you of God. The atmosphere was made for you to breathe, to remind you of God. Dry lands and plants were made for you to walk in and for something to eat, to remind you of God. Time was made for you. The sun and the moon were made for you. The stars were made for you to remind you of God. The fish and the birds were made for you to remind you of God. The animal kingdom was made for you to remind you of God. All of creation was made because of and for you. Maybe you can challenge me on that. I don't know. That was kind of new for me to think about. But all of creation was made because of and for you. As the garden was made for Adam and Eve, the world and our entire universe was made to house you and to keep you, all while displaying God's handiworks, even the creepy little beetles that live in Pennsylvania. Yes, God had you in mind when he created the world. And God wants you to remember him as you experience him in what we see and what we hear and what we even experience. All of this he has made for you, and he wants us to remember him. Let's look at how God made us. And Genesis 2 gives us a little more insight. Genesis 2, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. In Genesis 2:19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord, we read this before, but it says the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. But here in verse 7, God formed man, and what else did he do to man? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This is different for us compared to the animals. In the account of him forming the animals and the beasts, he made them with his hand. He made also man with his hand, but then he breathed into us the breath of life. God breathed on us and gave us life. And there is no other life apart from God. None. This is God establishing his authority. Nothing lives apart from him. There is no ability to move or to play or to have fun or tell jokes or to fight or to cry apart from the gift of life that God has given. And this world wants to make light of the fact that God is and has the supreme authority on life. The world wants it to appear as if there is life apart from God. There are Disney movies about cute skeletons that move and live and have feelings. Brothers and sisters, this is a direct assault to God and his authority. They are telling God, you don't have the only life. See, I can be alive apart from you. All of this world's infatuation with skeletons is a direct attempt to thwart God and make life apart from God actually seem real and doable. It is not. Let there not be found in any of our homes depictions of life without and apart from God. This includes zombies. Hollywood attempts you to persuade folks that death is not the end. Video games depict the ability for you to fight and die, fight and die, fight and die. And many things that you can fight against are supposedly not even alive. All of this is directly against God and the gift of life that he gives. There is no other life apart from God, none. God is the only life giver. And when this life is over, there is no coming back. Either you are redeemed or you're condemned. That's it. And Hollywood wants to think, oh no, 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 no. You can have fun after. No, it's not true. It's not true. This is God's authority. He has established it and it does not change. Please do not let the ways of the world slip into your home and into your games and into your movies. I truly believe it makes God weep to see his children open their minds to entertainment that speaks against and makes fun of God-given life and breath. There is no life apart from God. He has established his authority. And what are we supposed to do? That God has made us and placed us in this wonderful world. What is our first command? And then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. The first thing he says. I would have thought he would have, you know, greeted them and said, how you doing? How's it feel? Having a good day? No, first thing he says, be fruitful and multiply. It might sound funny. I mean, I snickered a little bit when I saw that. I was like, really? That's what we're supposed to do? Be fruitful? Okay. And then I realized this is pretty serious stuff. This is the first thing that God told humankind to do. He gave a directive. And again, the world is very against this first command of God. The world does not want you to be fruitful and multiply. In fact, it's culturally acceptable to have no kids. And if you must, just have one child. There's actually a contemporary thought that having more than one child is being selfish and taking from the greater good. It's actually culturally acceptable today to be an adult and have committed relationships of the same or different gender that produces nothing, as described here, as being fruitful and multiplying. I'm trying to use words here for all ears that are present. The fascination and acceptance of our culture with relationships that cannot produce any offering is in direct confrontation to God in this very first commandment that he gives us. What God has made and designed is fruitful. You take his design out of context and there is no fruitfulness. This is God's authority. I am not wrong in my assessment. God has established his authority and it cannot be changed or altered, period. The devil cannot change what God has set in place as far as how we can recreate. But the devil can try and change our minds. The devil can try and convince you that it's okay if two people are committed and it's okay if they live outside the bounds of holy matrimony. The devil can try and convince you that it's too scary to have kids. The devil can try and convince you that it's okay to be married to the same gender as you. And God has told us in his very first words to us through Adam. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And the devil has been trying to convince us not to listen to God ever since. And for those of you who might be a little scared about bringing children into the world, I said this before, I don't know, was it a year ago or so, but it's worth mentioning here. My wife and I were too. We were scared to have kids. It was 25 plus years ago or so, 25 years ago, but we were scared. You know, the Gulf War was going on. We spoke to an older couple from our previous church. So they were 80-something. And we said, well, we're a little unsure about having children, you know. And they laughed and they said, we were too. And we're like, no, we're serious. We're really concerned. And they're like, yeah, we were too. they're both gone now. But that thought has always stuck with me. Every generation is fearful, I believe, a little bit. When I was born, it was the end, and the end of the Vietnam War was going on. And I know this is dating you quite a bit. Was there anybody here that remembers air raid sirens and having to dive under their desk at school? Does anybody remember that? Yes? Yeah? Yeah? There's a few. And you'll notice occasionally on buildings, there's a little round symbol that's a nuclear thing, yellow and black. That means that that building is a fallout shelter. So when the commies come, we're all supposed to run there, right? When the bombs start falling. But there was a time when every public school had the air raid siren and you dove under your desk. And it was a scary time in the United States of America. But God was faithful. And he told us again not to be scared. What did he tell us? He told us to be fruitful and multiply. That doesn't sound very fearful. And this is not spoken to those really who are married or those who are trying to have kids. I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking actually to the 10, 16, 12, 17, to the next couple generations. It might look really scary. And you might be going, I'm not going to have kids. Let me tell you, God is faithful. It's okay. God will provide for you as he has provided for us. This is what God says. Be fruitful. This is what the devil says. Be fearful. God says, be fruitful. The devil says, be fearful. It's a big difference. And what God gives the ability to die, he gives the ability to recreate. Huh. I didn't think about that before. What God gives the ability in his creation to die, he gives the ability to recreate. Fish, birds, animals, beetles. What God gives, even us humans, what God gives the ability to die, he gives the ability to recreate. This is God's way, his command. And the devil has been trying to mess with God's authority ever since. But the devil can't touch this one. This is God's authority. It does not change. Our next directive, after it says to be fruitful and multiply, is found in verse 28 of Genesis 1. And it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You and I were given dominion over creation. What is dominion? What is dominion? Dominion, by definition, is sovereignty or control. Dominion is like governance. That would be dominion. Some synonyms, which would mean the same thing as dominion, would be supremacy, dominance, superiority, preeminence, authority, mastery. And God has given this over his creation. And I had to ponder why. Why would God give us dominion? And I asked that question several times to myself, and I had a bunch more questions. So maybe these will help you ponder. So these are thoughts for you to ponder. Why would God give us dominion? Could it be that it would teach us order so that we value him more? Why would God give us dominion? To help us understand stewardship, maybe. Why would God give us dominion? To teach us to care? Governance and authority is wasted unless used with care for one's subject. Why give us dominion? To demonstrate to us the ability and dominion God has over us. Possibly. Good questions to ponder sometime on your porch in the rain. Why did God give us dominion? What is he trying to teach us by giving dominion over all of his incredible creation? In verse 29, it says, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every herb food for food, every green herb for food. And it was so. And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Everything that God made before was good, but when he finished day six, it was very good. I didn't study that. That would be an excellent topic for somebody to study. What does that mean? What were the Greek words? I don't know. But it's interesting to think about that the end of day six was very good. To finish day six, again, if God started early in the morning and he started forming all those animals and then he made man in there in the afternoon, and then to finish the day out, he made sure we all had our food as soon as we were ready to eat right away. I thought that was pretty good, right? Right after we were made, we get to eat. He finished the day with food. God provided for his creation with sustenance to eat. God provided all that we needed to accomplish his directives of being fruitful and having dominion. God has provided for us with food. And I'm sorry, but we were actually created to eat fruit and seeds. It's kind of how we were. I heard one speaker say that's because we don't have any big meat-tearing teeth, you know? We have grinder teeth because we were made to eat fruit and seeds. It's like, oh, okay. It doesn't quite hold water, though, because lions have big tearing teeth and they were made to eat grass, too. So I don't know how that flows. It's something to think about. Funny. But we were us and the animals. In fact, the animals were not afraid of humans until after the flood. The lions ate grass. The tigers ate plants. Foxes didn't kill any chickens till after the flood. Funny to think about. According to day six, Noah would have needed a lot of hay on the ark. That's it. I always wondered when I was a kid, well, how did they feed? Oh, I mean, did they take seven animals so that they could keep feeding the lions and the tigers? According to day six, everything ate plants. It wasn't until after the flood. You can jump there if you want to, chapter 9 of Genesis, and verse 1, it says, "And so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them," again, the very first directive after the flood, "be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air and all that move in the earth and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be your food. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, and you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood." So until then, the animals were pets. So I don't even know if they needed cages on the ark. I don't. I mean, it's neat to think that they all had their eat little bunker, you know what I mean? And they had locks in the cage. We kept them all separate on the ark. But I don't know. I mean, they didn't fear man, and they ate all plants. And so the ark could have just been one party. I mean, they could have just had fun hanging out, petting the lions and the tigers and all that stuff. I don't know. Interesting to think about, but the animals were not scared of man, and they ate plants, and people ate fruit and seeds. And again, God told Noah and his sons to be fruitful and multiply. If there was ever anyone who was scared to have kids, I think it would have been Noah's kids. The evil that they saw, the destruction that they saw, the pounding of fists upon the ark of those outside wanting to come in. The destruction that they witnessed It'd have been a scary thing if you were to be rational and think about, okay, let's start over. And yet they trusted God. They trusted God. And they were fruitful and they multiplied. And now it's our turn not to be afraid. Now it's our turn not to fear. We are to do well in our turn to have dominion. And we are to recognize the awesome, life-giving Creator God that we serve. And we are to fear Him. And we are to close our ears to the whispers of the devil. And God calls us to be fruitful. And the devil wants us to fear. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we are thankful for your word. God, we are thankful for the testimonies that you have miraculously preserved for us, that we can look back and see how it was. And God, it is with that ability that we look back and we see your hand. That gives us the ability to look forward into things that we can't see and yet trust you. God, we are thankful for the way that you have made the world. God, we're thankful this morning for all 176 beetles in Pennsylvania. It is by your majesty that you have created this earth. And God, we are here to humbly have dominion over that. Help us to see you in our world. Help us not to fear the whispers of the devil. God, help us to continually to be fruitful. Help us to continue to multiply and to fill the earth. Help us not to live in fear, God. We again thank you for your word. I pray for it as it settles in the heart of the people that are here this morning, that they would be open to hear and to receive, that your word would take root, that it would grow, and that there would be fruit from this morning. We thank you, God, again, just for the awesomeness of this day. And God, if there would be anyone here who would need to lay a fear down, I just pray that they would have the freedom to come do that at the altar this morning. If they're carrying something that is fearful and they've been reminded this morning that you are the God that is bigger than all of our fears, for you have made us, you have made creation, you have made the sun and the moon, and God, you made the stars. And there is no one and nothing to fear but you alone. God, I pray for that person this morning that you would give them the freedom to come and to release their burdens to you this morning and their fears. We thank you again for this day. Help us to glorify you in it. In Jesus' name, amen.